You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Dr. Mike Joy is a senior researcher at the Institute for Governance and Policy Studies at Victoria Uni, specialising in ecosystems and the management of ecology. He pointed me to talk to Jeff Bertram in understanding the specifics of economics and alternate models, as his expertise lays in ecology rather than the nitty-gritty bits of economics. Nevertheless, Dr. Mike Joy responded to some of the things I brought up with Green Party co-leader James Shaw this morning, which you just heard, and begins by giving me some context to the ETS bill from his perspective.
So what we're talking about here, so the trap is, the idea is that we emit less carbon, right? But what this trading scheme kind of does, or what we've done up to this date, is we haven't emitted less carbon. We emit more carbon every year. Or more greenhouse gases every year. And what we're doing is we're saying what our net emissions are going down. And this is what this trading scheme does. It allows you to carry on doing bad stuff, but you can buy, you can buy some good stuff by sequestering through trees. So in the same way that, you would, if you want to go fly to UK and you buy some tree planting and suddenly you feel good about it, but actually it hasn't addressed the problem at all. And I think it's really important that people understand that you sequestering carbon through trees is great, but it only gets us a tiny little bit along the way, because it doesn't account for the carbon that's in the oil and the gas that we burn is carbon that was sequestered over millions and millions, thousands of millions of years. And what we're talking about today with trees is today's carbon cycle. So do you get the difference that we could plant all the trees in the world and all we're going to do is replace the carbon of the trees we cut down? We haven't accounted for 1 kilogram of fossil fuel carbon, because that's carbon that was sequestered way back in time. So we kind of kid ourselves, and this is what New Zealand's doing, is kidding itself, besides the failings that Jeff identified in the emissions trading scheme, is that just overall it's a flawed scheme, because it allows us to carry on emitting carbon and just kind of cheating by sequestering it. And then in trees, and then and one day we chop the trees down, we have to pay it all back again, and we haven't got anywhere, because, so we take it from now to 2030, that's a crop of pine trees, so we can suck all this carbon out, but then we're going to chop them all down again, and then we're going to be back to where we started from, and we haven't achieved anything. So what we have to do is reduce our emissions, and nothing in this trading scheme is going to make us reduce those emissions, because there's no cap on it. So it's kind of just politicians avoiding the reality. And the reality, and this is the scary bit, the reality is that our economy is driven by burning fossil fuels. That's where our prosperity comes from, globally and in New Zealand. And New Zealand is not all burning. Some of it's producing methane through agriculture as well. So for a government to do something meaningful about climate change is going to mean reducing economic growth. And you can imagine the chances of a government getting away with reducing economic growth is about zero. Labor coalition would come out strong and actually have some meaningful legislation. I mean, I have no doubt that the reason this ETS is worded like it is, but so it won't work, is because they don't want it to work. Because if it did work, it would stifle economic growth. And if he was to do that, they'll get voted out.
Right, because the argument coming from James was that there was a cap. Yeah. There was a financial cap which was going to pressure corporations to make the switch to more renewable solutions, and that there was going to be a carbon emission cap as well. That was going to also limit. So
he says that, but right. Then there's all these ways around it. So they can, the government can hand out these units, and does hand out these units to to their friends. And so, you know, effectively there is no cap. How is there a cap? They can keep handing out New Zealand units to whoever they like.
Because, the argument, I guess, is that it will all be transparent. People will be, you know, the public will be able to see which companies were having to pay the tax. And in your opinion, would you say that that's not enough of a transparency or accountability? Like, what would you hope to see?
Like, it's like most of the emissions are not things that New Zealanders can have any control over anyway. I mean, you know, think of the example of the methane emissions from intensive agriculture in New Zealand. I mean, New Zealand is a tiny proportion of the market of those products, and so we could all stop buying them tomorrow. It would make no difference to Fonterra or anyone like that because they're mostly export. So, you know, this transparency, or, you know, I can't see how that can achieve anything either. It's kind of just putting off the inevitable, and that's the scary bit. It's protecting incomes for today and making it sound like you're doing something, but actually just kicking it down the road for the next generation to deal with.
Because what would be an alternative in terms of, because, you know, the climate crisis is here and is happening.
Yep.
And at the same time, if you... I guess the argument when I brought it up with James was that if you suddenly increase the prices, you know, up to $100, it would mean that the price of resources would also go up immensely, and that would affect, you know, people from lower social economic areas. So how do you, you know, how do you have that balance of,
Yeah, of course it will. I mean, that's the thing. That's exactly, he's agreeing with what I said, that our prosperity comes from degrading the planet. I mean, that's there's no doubt about that. So, yes. We're going to have to give up some stuff in order to save our future. We've had this party, you know, we've had this, the mother of all parties, you know, living it up on this one-off supply of fossil fuels that we got given. It's like a legacy, like Granny left us some money in the account. We just had this almighty weekend party, blew the lot, and now we have to face reality. So, yes, it is going to be tough, but I think that's really criminal to say, oh, it's the poor people who are going to be worse off. It'll only be the poor people worse off if the market, they set up the legislation so that's how it happens, you know. There's lots of ways around this where you could maybe give carbon credits to every individual, and then, you know, you could have it like a credit on a credit card, and everybody gets allocated the amount of carbon, you know, say per year that an even allocation across all people, and then if you don't use yours, then you can get some money for it, and the ones that do use more than that would have to buy some back off you. There's ways that you could do it like that where it would be equitable for all people, you know, but they don't even talk about that, and it's kind of, I think it's disingenuous to say that we can't do it because the poor people will be the worse off. When climate change impacts hit, it's going to be the poor people who are worse off. So, you know, there's no way out of this. You can't just say, oh, we won't do anything, or we'll do it slowly. Slowly's not going to change anything.
Because, you know, with the recent COP25 conference, I guess a lot of people were frustrated that not much had changed, or not much, you know, had happened. When I brought it up with him, I guess the stance was that it's better that there was no bad law rather than... You know, it's better that there's no law rather than bad law. So in your, you know, your stance, do you think the government needs to be more radical, or do they need to be going at a faster
pace?
I
mean, we've just, all the time that he says things like that, although we can't do things, we can't be radical. Every day it gets harder to fix. You know, the reality is we have to reduce greenhouse gas emissions globally by at least 10% per year to have a hope of staying getting under the 2 degrees, let alone 1.5 degrees. 10%. We're not even slowing down. We're not even getting towards zero, let alone going minus. And we're going upwards. And so every day that he says that it's all right for us to just do it slowly is just making it more and more impossible for us to achieve that. I mean, I understand, you know, the compromises that politicians have to make. I realise that, and I totally realise that if they did make the strong stance, and this is something we all have to think about, all New Zealanders, if the government makes a strong stand and does something about climate change, it will mean a reduction in economic growth, and we have to face that reality. And you know, from a politician's point of view, they know that that's political suicide to do that. So that's our dilemma that we have to deal with. We have to tell them that we're going to support them and not vote them out when they make tough decisions that we need to have made for us.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.